Welcome to the Authority of Love. My name is Greg Williams, and thanks for joining us on this broadcast. Let me ask you a couple questions. How do you work, relate, and live your life? I know it's a pretty broad question, but we're going to dig into that a little bit more. Do you do it with a calculated view of God in all things, or just when things are difficult or uncertain, or not at all? Check out yesterday's message to find out more about how God wants us to take Him at His word in every moment of every day and not get caught up in our flesh or the culture's way of doing things. He has got a much better plan and purpose than anything else we could dream up, but it must be done in faith, and as we do so, we grow and mature in that faith. Now, if you missed yesterday's or any other episodes, or there are others, as a matter of fact, on our website at Love and Lordship, loveandlordship.com. And you'll find a watch tab for videos, a listen tab for podcasts, and a read tab for articles. There are other things there as well. You can find our book there in the icon in the middle of the homepage. Thank you for those who have availed themselves of these different offerings, the post, the blogs, the book itself, and thank you for your feedback. You can do that at Love and Lordship. It's A-N-D again, loveandlordship@gmail.com, loveandlordship@gmail.com, and I certainly appreciate your comments, questions, your encouragement, your disagreements, whatever it may be. I do appreciate it, and I thank those who have done so. Now, I briefly mentioned in wrapping up yesterday's program that today's message would be dealing with the always uneasy subject of the difficult things in life, because they're not comfortable, and that's what our flesh certainly desires, nor are the outcomes always what we want. We tend to shy away from or completely avoid most anything that we find or think is going to be hard. God, on the other hand, knows that because of sin in our lives and the brokenness it has caused in our world, that we're going to have to face and work through difficult things in order to develop the character to not only handle them well, but learn for future issues and be able to receive and handle the blessings without getting caught up in our own selfish desires. James 1 2 through 4 tells us that we will face trials and tribulations, and that our response should not be to avoid, ignore, or run from them, but actually to rejoice, to count it a joy when we face them. How's that for flipping things upside down, right? That's certainly counterintuitive, but isn't that the way with all the truths of God's word when they're held up to our flesh, our selfishness, the culture, and what we desire? He's got a great purpose, and usually it leads to things that are honorable and noble in our lives as we love and serve others. Chambers states it this way in today's title: all noble things are difficult. Now, again, if you're following along in the devotional booklet or online at myutmost.org, we're on July the 7th. Got to give a shout out to one of my former players, Andy Green. Birthday is today, 7-7-77. He played for me at Lexington Christian Academy at basketball, also played baseball, and went on to a great career at University of Kentucky and in the major leagues. So happy birthday, Andy. Well, let's be honest, as I've been sharing, that's not what I want to hear, okay? And if we were still in the Garden of Eden, again, back to think, all noble things are difficult, right? That's the title. So again, let's be honest, that's not what I really wanted to hear. And if we were still in the Garden of Eden, literally paradise, we wouldn't have to hear this. But look around, folks. This is not paradise, and we need to learn how to properly deal with the fallenness and brokenness in our own lives as well as those around us and the world at large. Because of sin, it's everywhere. So we're going to have difficulties and trials and struggles, many of them brought on by our own sin and selfishness, but others brought on by the people around us, the circumstances around us. We're going to have to deal with it in a different way than the world does, as most don't even want to acknowledge sin as the root of the brokenness that we all must account for and that's all around us. We either give in to it, That's the easy way. And then we reap accordingly the destruction of sowing in the flesh, or we willingly handle, receive and handle the difficulties, the trials and the struggles, and know that they serve a greater purpose, teaching us to sow and grow in the Spirit and reap the fruit of eternal life, both now and in eternity with Him. Look at Galatians 6, 7, and 8, often called the law of the harvest. However, we cannot and must not give up. We must endure, battle, learn, and overcome. And these are all the difficult things in difficult moments that lead us into the nobility and the reward, again, if we don't give up. That's verse 9 in Galatians 6. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That's our text today that Chambers uses from Matthew 7:14. Now, I chose to quote the modern classic version, if you're following along in the online devotional, because the other two versions, the updated and the classic, they leave off that last phrase that's actually found in Scripture. And I believe it is very poignant and powerful to today's Devo and our discussion. We don't like to talk about it in church, but Jesus Himself said that few would find the road or path that leads to life. Where else do we hear a similar exhortation? Well, in John 14:6, Jesus tells us what that road or path is. I am the way, the truth, the life, in Him and Him alone. And few are willing to accept and walk on that road or that way, which is Jesus. We've so watered down the totality of the gospel in much of today's teachings and messages that to say this sounds harsh, but in reality, it always did sound that way. Because when Adam and Eve and you and I eat of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we want to do it our way. There's got to be more than one way. There's got to be a broader road or path or way than this. You see, because of what we've chosen to do, it is harsh. It's difficult, and it's the only way that we will make it into eternity with Christ. Paul tells us that it's impossible, as that's what the Old Testament and the law reveal to us, and it is only possible in Christ. It's impossible for us to do it on our own. Only possible in Christ. And yet, it's still difficult because we still, as Paul says, you still have to abide in this flesh. But it's very much worth that noble trek, the way in Christ. Chambers jumps right in. If we are going to live as disciples of Christ, and don't miss this, that's what He has saved us for, to be His disciples, i.e. disciplined ones, disciplined in the Word and the Spirit, not our own flesh. If we're going to live as disciples of Christ, we have to remember that all noble things are difficult. The Christian life is gloriously difficult. I love that phrase, gloriously difficult, but the difficulty does not make us faint and cave in. It rallies us to overcome. Do I so appreciate the salvation of Jesus Christ that I give my utmost for His highest? Sound familiar? God saves humanity by His sovereign grace through the atonement. He works in us then to will and act in order to fulfill His good purpose, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, that we take the salvation we've been freely given, and as we work it out, it is actually Him working and acting according to His good pleasure for His good purposes. Our responsibility then, as I just stated, is to work out our salvation in the practical day-to-day living. If we begin to do what God commands and do it on the basis of the redemption that we have been saved, that we are forgiven, that we have the Holy Spirit, all of that is redemption, we will discover that we have all the strength and resources we need to succeed. By faith, through grace of the Holy Spirit in and through us. If we fail, it's because we haven't practiced. We haven't developed the habits, the disciplines of obeying God. When a crisis comes along, it reveals our level of preparedness. If we have been practicing in our daily life what God has put into us by the Spirit, then in a crisis, our own nature will stand alongside the grace of God to support us. Our spirit gives way to the Holy Spirit, is what He's saying there. And you can post this because it's something that the Lord has laid on my heart a lot recently, and it's so true. We all love the grace of salvation, but are quick to abuse that very same grace applied in sanctification and discipleship. You see, we're just like the Romans. It's human nature that Paul addressed in Romans 6, and our abuse of this grace in our teachings and in our lives leads to the same end that Paul described. We become slaves to sin, all the while sitting in our church seats claiming the grace of salvation. Paul says, God forbid. In other words, this should never be our response to the free grace that he's given to save us, as it's impossible for us to claim Christ as Savior and not walk with him as Lord. Excuse me. His lordship and our discipleship is the difficult, narrow road that we can only walk in him, the way, the truth, and the life. Chambers closes, thank God he does give us difficult things to do. His salvation is a joyous thing, but it is also heroic and holy. It tests us for all that we are worth. Test our flesh, right? Jesus is bringing many sons and daughters to glory. That's Hebrews 2:10. And God will not shield us from the requirements of a son or a daughter. Look at Hebrews 12:5 and 6. It's part of that. God's grace never produces cowards or weaklings. It produces men and women with a strong family likeness to Jesus Christ. It takes a tremendous amount of discipline to live the noble life of a disciple of Jesus. Look at Luke 14:25-35 if you want to know what that standard is. It is always necessary to make an effort to be noble. I'm going to close in our food for thought today with two quotes from Chambers again. God does not further our spiritual life in spite of our circumstances, but in and by our circumstances. And then I ask why. Second quote, crises reveal character. When we are put to the test, the hidden resources of our character are revealed exactly. So my question is, what do the difficulties and crises in your life reveal about your character? Is it formed according to your flesh or according to Christ's life and teachings? Love in action. Spend time with God in his word and prayer and listening every day. Begin with the scriptures in this text. And if you want to go further, start somewhere else, the book of John and the book of Psalms. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Number three, what difficult things have you avoided or are you avoiding, and what's been the result? What is your character as a result of that? Number four, start today to face and walk through those difficult issues with joy. Remember, that's not a feeling, it's a choice. It will produce feelings, but it's a choice, and then trust him to mold you into his character and image. Join us tomorrow for Wednesdays for Women with co-host Adia Wushner. As it's always good. She always does a great job. Don't miss it, and invite your family, friends, loved ones, even enemies to join us so they can hear more about the truths of God's word and how we apply those disciplines to our lives, even the difficult ones. Again, you can find out more at loveandlordship.com, loveandlordship.com. If you want to connect with me or question or a comment, disagreement, agreement, whatever, loveandlordship@gmail.com. Email me at loveandlordship@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day in the love and lordship of Christ. Stay tuned at 12:45 for my good friend Greg Horn, and Hope is here. I'm Greg Williams, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.